The scripture reading this morning will come from the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you're using one of the Bibles provided for you, this can be found on page 1135. Again, the scripture reading this morning will come from the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father.
Good morning. Still good morning. This is like that Google Doodle that they just had celebrating. Maybe not. Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We're glad you're here. It's good to see you. We're thankful for your presence this morning. Thankful to the Lord for letting us all be here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that's where we'll take our sermon from this morning. We'll learn something from the Thessalonian brethren and apply it to us today. By way of introduction, let me just say a few words. Preachers and congregations working together are like marriages. Sadly, like marriages, they don't seem to last long. Usually, when they end, if you ask each side what went wrong or why they're ending, like marriages, they typically blame each other and say it was the other one's fault. And so when they do work well, it is indeed a blessing when they last and endure. And such is the state of the relationship here. 1997, August 6th, marked our first Sunday with you. That is now some 20 years ago. And we took a picture in the parking lot. And I was holding Bethany. And Bethany was 2. Brianna was 7. Brittany was 10. And Vanessa was, well, never mind that. But because of that, because of the nature of this relationship, this morning on behalf of my family here, my family extended, I would like to say thank you to this congregation. Title of our sermon this morning is, I Thank God for You. The Apostle Paul would often do that with the congregations with which he worked. Can read it in many of his epistles. He would say, I'm thinking of you. He would say, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He would say, I'm praying for you. I thank God. He would say it repeatedly. He actually says it to the brethren in Thessalonica. And some of the things he says to them, I'd like to apply to you this morning as it relates to our work together. Paul gives at least 3 reasons in verse number 3 why he is thankful for them. Those are the reasons that I'm thankful for you, and then he mentions some subsequent things later in the verse or in the chapter. We'll talk about some of those as well. Paul says, first of all, thank you for your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word work in this verse means effort or toil. The word faith is persuasion, moral conviction of religious truth. The word labor has to do with a cut, toil, reducing the strength, fatigue, someone laboring. Patience is endurance, cheerful endurance, constancy. You put those thoughts together, and what Paul is saying is, I am thankful to God for your toil, the toil of faith, your trust in God. He says, for your labor, you have fatigued yourself in love. And your constancy, your hopeful endurance, your patience, anticipation of heaven, and the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm thankful for you. And those words, 20 years of preaching here, I would certainly echo those for this congregation. I'm thankful for you this morning, for your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's kind of Paul's introduction, and then he gets into enumerating four reasons, four things that they have done that highlight those three things he mentions. And again, I would urge, especially as a preacher of the gospel, these things are greatly appreciated and they are not taken for granted, but I am very thankful for them for you. I thank God for you because, as you read a little further into the verses, down in verse number 6, Paul says of the Thessalonian brethren, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. If you were to go back and read Acts chapter 17, where the Thessalonian brethren received the word, you can see that they do receive it in the midst of persecution. And while it won't be an exact one-to-one for everything the Thessalonian brethren went through, there are things that he says about them that are certainly true of this congregation. I didn't mention that at the outset. I guess I should have. I kind of jumped right in. But I'm thankful for the elders here. Those 20 years ago, those men didn't know me, and I didn't know them. One of your preachers then suggested they give me a call, and they did, and they happened, you may or may not know this, they happened to give me a call in exactly the same window in which I had resigned the previous work. The truck was in the driveway. The packing had commenced. And we were actually on our way to Memphis, Tennessee. We're going to work with a congregation there. I was going to take another job, go to school. And within that window, days, literally days, they called. They didn't know me nor I them. The preacher leaving, Lance, had suggested it. And we talked. They invited me over. I actually flew over just one weekend. Came in Saturday, I think. Left out Sunday. Didn't even meet much of the congregation. Many of you who were here then probably wouldn't have even known me no more than a visitor that day. We talked that night, and I flew back home. My wife asked me when I got there, how was the meeting? I said, it was good. That's a good congregation. Man, everything seemed to be in order. There were elders and deacons, and everybody was busy, very friendly, just a nice place. She said, oh, well, that's good. We kept packing. A couple days later, we got another call. Well, I guess I should back up and tell you that when the first call came, I actually said, no, thank you. And my wife said, you should at least listen. And so I listened. Should we listen to our wives? That second call came and we talked. Things did not work out well. And again, we parted with, well, probably can't do it. Had a third call. Between that second and third call, I got a call from the preacher with which I was going to work in Memphis. Between that second and third call, he said, Eric, things are not well here. You know I love you. We would love to have you here, but I'm not even sure I'm going to be here when you come. If you have something else, you should probably look at that. That's between the second and the third call. And so when the third call came, we ended up with a new bearing for the truck. Sight unseen, basically, we were hired to work in evangelism. not to preach. Things changed as a result of that. What I'm saying is I'm thankful. Nobody could have planned all of those things out. I certainly don't take credit for them. I hope it's the providence of God. Who knows? 20 years later, here we are. And we're thankful. And what we found then, we have found for the previous 20 years, and that is that this is a congregation of people who have received the word of God. Like the Thessalonian brethren, though you have not received it necessarily in persecution, in chapter 2 of verse 13 of this book, Paul wrote this: "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." What a privilege and an honor and a joy it has been to preach to people who believe in the inspiration of the word of God. People who have received the word of God. Secondly, Paul says, the Thessalonian brethren were examples to others, and so too have you been. He said of them, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. The saints in Thessalonica were examples in at least three ways: how they received the word of God, how they handled persecution, and how they got along with others. Chapter 2 and verse number 14, he says, "For ye brethren became followers of the churches of Judea, which are in Christ Jesus, for they have also suffered the same things you have suffered of their own brethren." So too, the congregation here. They have been, you have been, examples to others, number one, in your reception of the scriptures and their inspiration and the belief in them. Number two, in your refusal to desire to be like the denominations around us and change the Lord's church. And number three, in your example of how people of different cultures, different ethnicities, are truly one in Christ Jesus. We wish that were the standard of our Lord's body around the world, but sadly it is not. But it is in this place. From our reception and our entrance unto you 20 years ago, it has been different faces, different backgrounds, different people, different cultures, but one Avondale. It has truly been a blessing to have peace among God's people, for them to put Jesus above their self-interest, the scriptures above their desires, and to seek to prefer one another. To have been a part of that, to have witnessed that, to have had a hand in sharing in that, for that, truly thankful for you in this congregation. Number three, the Apostle Paul says of the saints, again, it's truly true of this congregation, their care or your care for souls. Paul says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God would have spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." The Thessalonian brethren not only received the word in persecution, they then lived the word, and then Paul says they shared it. They sounded it out to other regions. Friends, that certainly describes this congregation. We have sought through the years to evangelize the community, and I remember the door knockings when we arrived were continual and perpetual, and we have touched the ground on nearly all of these communities around here. The Saturdays were often well stocked with people. The flyers were handed out. The doors were knocked. Young and old were about the business of sharing the gospel. Recently, we've continued that. You remember the Fishers of Men courses that we've had, and other forms of evangelistic efforts and teachings and tools. We've recently added house to house and heart to heart to try to continue that process, and we've had some success. The giveaway invites and reaches the community. Not only is it local, it is indeed spread abroad. We've supported missionaries before I arrived here 20 years ago, and that has continued. As far as Ireland, Australia, India, and Guatemala, and as recently as last week, Trey and Ryan was on a mission trip. We've supported missionaries. We sent members on mission trips, men and women, young and old. We've helped train preachers for years. You may not know how many people, how many lives, how much good has been done by this congregation's effort to sound out the word of God around the world. It might be the case that it might not be known until eternity, but it's been done. The good that you have done, well, your name is spoken of. The truth of the matter is, people know about you. Paul says of the saints there, we need not say anything. What we will say, though, is thank you for the care of souls around the world, for the efforts that have been put in, for the sacrifices that have been made, for the monies that have been given. To be a gospel preacher and to work with people who do that and are like that and live that, thank you. It's been a blessing and a privilege. Paul says, your care for souls, we're thankful. Finally, Paul says of the brethren there, and it's certainly true of the brethren here, speaking of their work and their labor, he says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And I see you looking at me, probably wondering why I'm smiling and laughing. Just keep back these tears and I'm going to make it. I'll tell you that right now. The crying will be done in my office. I'm not sure about that, but I'm going to try to make it at any rate. The brethren in Thessalonica were ignorant of God's word. They worshiped idols. Paul says they turned. They changed. Again, it's not exactly a one for one. I understand that. There's certainly been change here. There's certainly been growth. There have certainly been Christians who are better today than they were 20 years ago, we hope. There are people who have drawn closer to the Lord, changed their hearts, changed their mind as a result of the reception of God's word, the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Motivated by love of God and the hope of heaven, Paul says, I'm thankful. I appreciate the blessing that I have as a gospel preacher, simply A, to be privileged to preach. It's a blessing. But then to be allowed to preach in a place like this, the elders and the deacons that have been here and served here, past and present, to have members, those who are presently here, some who have come later even and simply added to the beauty of this congregation. But for those who have been here for those 20 years and have taken this journey together, thank you. It has been a privilege. It is a pleasure. It is a great honor to preach and teach to God's people who love his word, who seek to live out his word, and are striving to light the world around us. I'm going to close this morning before I cry, at least publicly. On behalf of my family, thank you. Not a Christian this morning, become one. Come to Jesus. Come to know the only one who can save our souls and change our lives. Come to the one who can make us better than we are and make us new from being old and worn out by sin. Lord's church is not full of perfect people, but it has a perfect Savior. If you'll come to Jesus, he'll save you. He'll wash away your sins. He'll make you new. Thanking the congregation. There also needs to be a thankfulness for my family. And I'm thankful for my family, and for my wife, and for the girls, and for their support. And no man preaches alone with regards to having a family and a wife who doesn't support and assist and encourage. And those times when things are personally difficult and challenging, then the wife and the children stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the preacher. The shoulders that's cried on is hers, and the stress and anxiety that's felt is theirs. For that, I apologize to them, but I'm thankful that they have been here as well. For 20 years, it couldn't have been done without them. I appreciate your care for them. I hope you know how important it is to the preacher when you love and take care of his wife and his children. It is a great blessing. These 20 years. If the Lord says the same, who knows the future? Maybe there'll be 20 more. The The blessing has been ours. For that, we're thankful. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.